Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You want your Burt Show in one full show every day, uninterrupted, and dang it, you don't want ads. No problem. Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
Abby thinks bachelorette parties have officially gone too far now.
100%. I'm shocked at some of the things that my friends have gone through on bachelorette parties. I've kind of started to realize that going on a bachelorette party is a little bit like getting ready for the Girl Olympics, because there's so much that goes into getting ready for it. Like, we have mood boards, we have color schemes, we have themed nights we have to prepare for. I mean, I told my eyebrow lady, I was like, you cannot screw up my eyebrows the week of the bachelorette party. I cannot go in looking like a fool with all these other beautiful girls who have these Pinterest boards for every night. I mean, it's really insane.
Just another plus on being a guy. Right. I mean, any bachelor party that I went to, and I've gone to quite a bit, probably half a dozen, it's like, all right, Vegas, meet us at this hotel. We're all checking in at 4 o'clock, and then you wing it for the entire weekend. There's no plan. There's no itinerary. There's no Pinterest board. It says you show up, start drinking, and start making bad decisions.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yes.
Sounds so relaxing. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun, but it is a lot. And so I'm one of the maid of honors for this bachelorette party. So I'm essentially the captain of this bridal team. And I got to be honest, I'm doing a pretty good job so far.
The captain of the bridal team. Okay.
I'm keeping everybody in line. I've got our game plan set out. I've got like a PowerPoint where everyone's got to be at the specific time. We are ready to take down the team that we're not going up against, but we are going to win that weekend no matter what in Rosemary Beach.
You are competing against time is what you're doing.
Competing against myself, really. Okay. Like, how good can I make this? And so, you know, it's all going to be a great weekend, so the bride has a memory that she can look back on. And so,
while it seemed like a lot of responsibility,
right?
It really is. And me and my mom got in a fight about balloons yesterday. Like, we couldn't decide what shade of white, like, should they be ecru or pearl? I mean, it's getting to be a lot. So, while I've been on a lot of bachelorette parties before, I've never, like, run one. I've never been the maid of honor. I've never been in charge and responsible for basically the happiness and the memories that these people are going to make.
It's a lot of pressure. So, in the bachelorette parties that you've been at, has there been one person, one Abby, that is generally as organized as you are?
Oh, yes.
There is.
And so in my mind, I think I'm mentally competing up against these girls. The past maid of honors that I've been around, where they have done such a good job and people have been so grateful for the work that they've done and the amazing memories that they created. So I'm like, you know what? Got to step up to the plate.
Some of them in like the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You don't know it, but there is one.
I didn't realize.
It's in Vegas somewhere.
I didn't realize there was so much work in a bachelorette party. Either. I figured you guys all just like showed up, put your penis noses on and went out.
Oh, no. There will be no penis noses at this bachelorette. She has been very specific. She's like, this is coastal grandmother themed. It's going to be last toast on the coast. And so I've been trying to make sure that it's going to be a good time. So I've been asking other maid of honors and people who have been on bachelorette parties recently, because as like TikTok has taken off, the pressure has gotten even more intense, because you got to post the videos, you got to take the TikToks. Right. So I was having a conversation with a friend a couple of weeks ago about a bachelorette party that she went on in, I think it was like St. Croix or something. I said, girl, like, the photos were so beautiful. It looked like you guys had an amazing time. What are some of the tips that you can give me to make sure that this bachelorette party is going to be a success? And instead of getting excited and telling me all the fun things that happened on this bachelorette party, because it did look amazing. I mean, they literally went to St. Croix. She looked at me and she goes, Abby, this is one of the worst decisions I have ever made being a part of this bachelorette party. I was like, what did you mean? And she goes, well, the bride, who I love and adore and been friends with for years, threw us all a curveball and wanted to do the bachelorette party the week before the wedding, because the wedding was also going to be in St. Croix. Yeah. So instead of having two separate weekends, the weekend before the wedding, the bride asked everybody to spend the bachelorette party at this very expensive luxury resort in St. Croix that they were going to stay at for the wedding. So basically everybody was kind of forced to stay 7 nights at this luxury resort. And I think the bill ended up being like $6,500 for the whole week just to stay there.
What?
And I was like,
for each person?
For each person.
Wow. $6,500 for the week for a bachelorette party? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Because they had to stay for the wedding. And I said, well, why didn't you like go to a cheaper resort for the days in between? Because the bachelorette party was only 3 days. And then the wedding, of course, is only one day. And she goes, the bride wouldn't let us. She was insisted that we all stayed in their block of rooms that they got, because that's what you get for a wedding. You get, you know, 15, 20 rooms or whatever. And you ask everybody to pitch in and stay in those specific rooms.
I ever get divorced.
That's what I said.
Is that not an outrageous amount of money to ask somebody to spend for a bachelorette party?
It is absolutely outrageous. And to me, the math says, especially when you're being asked to be in somebody's wedding, you're essentially asking me to give you a $1,500 gift or however much it's going to cost for me to be in the wedding. Mm-hmm. You're asking me to spend XYZ amount of money to be a part of your day. And then I was at a bar this weekend and the same thing happened. I walked up to this group of girls that I was meeting, couple of new people I hadn't met before. One of the girls was crying when I got to the table. I was like, nice to meet you. You're okay. And I asked her what was wrong. And she said that she had just gotten a Venmo request for $3,000 for a bachelorette party that she was on, where she had to pay for her own goodie bag, the bride's food, the Airbnb.
Dang.
It's ridiculous what people are asking nowadays.
I don't think I love anyone that much.
Me neither. So
my love stops at about, I don't know, $2,000.
Yeah, exactly. That's my cap. That's my love cap.
So I'm very proud of how we're doing it. We're going to make it an experience for the girls as well. They're not going to have to pay for the goodie bags, and we are paying for the Airbnb as well. So everyone can just show up, get drunk, and have a good time.
Amen. So I was just looking it up because that number just seems so astronomical to me, and it is. The average cost of a bachelorette party this year is $1,300, which still is a lot of money for most of America.
Yeah. That seems like a lot of money. I don't think I've spent $1,300 on a bachelorette party, except for maybe this one.
I guess if you're going to another city and then you got hotel costs and everything else, man, the whole thing is a damn racket.
Yeah,
the whole industry is a racket.
It's ridiculous. Just go to your local dive bar and take a couple tequila shots. It'll be fine.
I think that is a great bachelor party.
I really do.
You know what I would really love, like, for a bachelorette party? Just a damn day at the beach. That's all I want us to do together is hang out and drink on the beach. And then, you know what? Let's get married later on that night. And then we'll go back to the beach.
Just to put that $1,300 in perspective for you, if you make minimum wage at $725, that's 179 hours worth of work.
Damn.
Or seven straight days, 24-hour days of work just to go on that bachelorette.
Dear God.
Nope. You better really love that friend. Really love that friend.
I'm thinking about it.
The Burt Show.
All right, this is directed mostly at you here, Abby, because you're the one on the show that's on dating apps. You're out there dating. You're out there grinding it out on those first dates and hating every second date. So I saw this on Reddit the other day, and I'm curious, and if you guys want to get in on this and you're single too, if you're finding this to be the truth and you got a couple of seconds, hit us up at 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Are you finding that dudes are meaner now within dating than they were a few years ago?
I think it's hard for me to answer that because I feel like I'm the mean one in the relationship. I feel like I'm a little bit of a hard ass. So I feel like I've always given the guys I've dated a little bit of a hard time. I don't know that I would call them mean. I think alpha bro culture is a thing where maybe they're a little bit, there are, I don't want to call it unrealistic standards, but I do think, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be like, you know, the alpha bro, and you got to get the hot girl, and she's got to be a 10, and she can't make more money than you. So there are things like that, but I don't know that I would call that mean, maybe just particular.
All right, so let me read from Reddit here and stop me when you want, okay? And again, if you're single and you're experiencing this, that dudes are just like, just more, they're just meaner now. Then hit us up. I've been single for about a year and a half, and I've noticed the same pattern happening to me over and over, in that it's I'll meet a guy who's completely obsessed with me,
compliments me all the time. Didn't you call this love bombing?
No, because love bombing is manipulative. He might just be really excited to see you.
What's the difference?
Manipulation. So if he's doing all of this to get something out of you, whether that be piano playing, or if he's trying to really lock you down and then he flips the switch once he gets that, that's what love bombing is.
Okay. He wants to see me all the time, etc. We hang out. Everything's great, looking promising. But then after about 2 months, they're not only become super distant, but they're also really mean for no apparent reason.
Mean? Okay.
It also always happens very suddenly without any warning. I've had this happen to me like 5 times. The last guy I dated was super sweet in the beginning, initiating dates, and he was very attentive, remembering every detail I told him about me. Last time we hung out, however, he became super passive-aggressive and downright mean. You should think that this is only an exception and that he's probably just a douche, but I've had this happen to me so many times. It's always the same. Guy likes me. We hang out, go on many dates, no fallouts or fights. Things seem fine. Then they become mean and proceed to ghost.
I definitely think there's something to the 2 to 3 month mark. I always call it the 90-day free trial because usually, because usually around 90 days is when, I don't want to call it the honeymoon period, but that's when kind of the initial excitement wears off. And definitely. So you kind of see somebody for who they really are. And also usually around the 90-day mark, and maybe this is just my opinion, I think around 3 months is usually when something physical has happened. And I personally have always noticed there being a shift after that has happened.
Huh. Yeah, I think it sounds like she's choosing guys that are not authentically interested in her. They may be interested in one thing or another, and then probably after they get it, they show a different side because they are not genuinely into her as the person. They are going after things, and I don't know why or what she's giving off that she keeps choosing that guy, but it sounds like she keeps choosing that guy.
I think this 3 month rule has always been there. I used to call it the crazy crown. Like, the crazy crown comes on if you're a guy or if you're a woman. You can hide it. You can hide that crown for 3 months, and then for whatever reason, 90 days in, crazy crown comes on.
The crazies are getting better, though. They hiding it for a year or two now, man.
And this is what doesn't make common sense to me. Like, if you know how to act like a regular, healthy person for 90 days, why can't you just be that person?
Just be consistent with it.
Alexandra here agrees with 90 days. Hey, Alexandra.
Hey, I have a story for you about that. I dated a guy for about 3 months. I basically agreed to meet his family. Then I found out that I had to have surgery. Didn't have enough PTO to do both, so I told him that I couldn't go and meet his family. And he flipped out on me, completely flipped the switch. I ended up breaking things off with him. And in return, I got a 21-page printed book of why I'm a terrible person in the mail.
What? This guy? Hold on a second.
I kind of admired the commitment. He really committed to the bit.
21 pages, like all typed out and like binded and stuff to tell you how terrible you are?
It was bound. Yep. It was bound and printed by a company. Yes.
What?
Wow.
So, this man have a job?
What was the number one thing that stuck out that he said made you a bad person?
Oh, he called me schizophrenic. He called me manipulative. He told me that I didn't care about animals or the planet because my apartment didn't recycle. I mean, he told me that I wasted food because when he came to visit, I meal prepped for him. You name it. He just... 3 months in, I was not the same person I met.
Did you read the entire thing?
Unfortunately, I did.
Oh, yeah. No.
Wow. Yeah, even if it's bad, it's still about me. Of course I'm going to read it.
I think I would have stopped around page 10.
Me too.
I don't really think I can say that I hate anybody, but even like my worst enemy, I couldn't write 21 pages of bad things about them.
No way.
Maybe a video.
I'm making a pop-up book.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
People are so weirded out about these Instagram stories from ex-NFL star Sergio Brown. So over the weekend, his family reported him and his mom missing to police. and they issued a missing persons report. They found his mom dead behind her home, but they couldn't find him. So he actually came out on social media yesterday and posted a few clips, which are very strange, to say the least. Basically, it's not even on his regular Instagram account. He got on a different Instagram account with a different username, and it sounds like a lot of gibberish, but the general thing that he's saying is that it's fake news. He thought his mom was on vacation, and he doesn't know what's going on.
Fake news. Fake news. Fake news. It has to be the FBI that came into my house on Bob Marley's death day with a 5-11 Asian gas unwarranted. They kidnapped me twice from home, the Maywood Police Department, right? Chris Football did it twice. Aaron Peppers was there the second time that it happened. It had to be the FBI or the Maywood Police. I thought my mama was on vacation in Sinaloa. That's fake news. It's on my damn face. Every time. If you want to come to me, the Maywood Police got to get any money. FBI had to do it. They got the power to do something like that. What's going on? That's fake news.
Real quick question. What did he say?
He's saying the fact that his mom, this is all basically just speculation because we obviously don't really know what he's saying because it's a lot of gibberish. He's posting it from a bar where sources close to the shade room, they think it's at a bar in Mexico. And he's basically saying it's fake news. I thought my mom was on vacation. And then he started talking about the FBI trying to come and kidnap him, which is also very bizarre. And then he also followed up that Instagram story with a joke about how he's going missing and how basically it's sort of like they're trying to find Nemo. So then he posted this other Instagram story where he tagged Sydney, Australia, which is where they found Nemo in the Finding Nemo movie, and goes on another gibberish rant.
I got it. Dory is. It's P. Sherman, 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney. Oh my gosh. I can't. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Missing. Finding Nemo. This is traumatic. Lucky I know how to say a joke.
So obviously very concerning considering we thought this guy was missing 2 days ago and now he's posting on Instagram all of this. None of it makes sense. Like, he seems very unwell, essentially. Yes.
You think bizarre. The world's always been this crazy, man, and we just haven't known about it because we didn't have the internet. We couldn't see it, like, in front of us every single day. But you think it's always been like this?
I absolutely believe
you
that.
You do?
Social media has just shown us what has always been happening. That's what I believe.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a snapshot onto what's going on in the deep, dark parts of the world.
Do you remember him from the NFL?
Mm-mm.
I don't remember him.
What's dude's name?
Sergio Brown. He played for the Colts, the Jags, a bunch of different teams.
Oh, that's
right. But
why.
He's an ex.
He played for a bunch of different teams. People don't remember.
Okay, The View hosts are stirring up debate about whether you should treat your kids like friends. So Whoopi Goldberg and her co-host Sunny Hostin had two completely different viewpoints on the matter.
And I struggle with this quite a bit because Hollis is like my little buddy. He's like my little buddy, but I love him too much for him to be my friend because I got to make some real tough decisions that he can't make for himself just yet, right? And I wouldn't do that for Mo, my friend. Hey, Mo, just want to let you know I'm limiting your screen time. but I think that I am really hoping that Whoopi's right and that there's a day that we really can be like friends, but not when they're this young.
I completely agree with Whoopi also, and I make fun of my mom for this all the time because she used to constantly tell me, I am not your friend, I am not your friend. And then the moment I was an adult, it was like, well, why? I don't feel like we're friends.
Yeah.
You've been telling me for years, you're not my friend, Mom.
You've been telling me what to do for the last 22 years.
Exactly.
But you and your mom are very friendly.
Yeah, I mean, she's coming this weekend, and we plan on getting absolutely hammered together, which is not something I would have done with my mom when she was acting like my mom, and now she's still takes care of me, but she's definitely more of a friend. So we'll be excited to drink some wine together. A 90s boy band is going on tour, and it's not NSYNC. I'll tell you who on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We know the last thing in the world that you want when you're listening to a radio morning show is philosophical questions. So let's hit you with a couple of them right now. Kristen left this one for us. She's out today. She said that she started to feel a cold yesterday. She was going to do the show from home today, and then she woke up and she had no voice. So she's out, but she left us with this. All right, so this was on Instagram. We all have to answer this. You meet your 18-year-old self. You're only allowed 3 words. What are they?
Mm-hmm.
3 words to tell your 18-year-old self. Okay, that was just last year for you, Abby. So what would you tell yourself last year?
So for me, I was trying to figure out something that would be both hopeful and encouraging without being too cryptic. Because for me, I live in worst case scenario land and always think the worst is going to happen. So I wanted to give myself something that would give a little bit like hint that like things are going to be okay. But everything I came up with, kind of, I could still spin to be worst case scenario.
Can we dive into that for just 1 second?
Yeah.
So what's the defense mechanism there? So if you're, because it just seems so stressful to me to always think the common denominator in every problem is going to be the worst case scenario. Mentally, that would be exhausting for me.
Well, my last name is Murphy. Like what can go wrong will go wrong. Like I just, it's just naturally built into my DNA. I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe just me being kind of a naturally negative person and just,
save that.
I'm just constantly just living in a world of pessimism. And maybe if I think the worst is going to happen, then I'll prepare for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it probably just comes down to the fact that I don't have enough free-flowing serotonin.
That was well thought out. Apparently that's not the first time you've asked yourself this question.
Nope.
Have you found yourself like in your past, whenever you do things, something inevitably will go wrong, and that sort of trained you to be like, well, something is definitely going to go wrong no matter what?
Yeah, it's probably a trauma response to something, and something horrible didn't happen in my past, but I think being a perfectionist, you just, and you're nothing is ever good enough. So I think I my brain just kind of is always assuming that the worst is going to happen, because for me, the worst is literally anything less than my best.
So I got this weird thing about like energy in the universe. And I feel like if I go to worst case scenario in my head and I think it, then the universe is going to hear it. And that's what's going
to
happen.
That's exactly what I think. And I used to be the same way. I used to always wait for the other shoe to fall. I used to always think it's going to go bad. And then somebody one day told me, it literally takes the same amount of energy, Mo, to think that things will go right or to think that things will go wrong. So just try to think that things will go right and see what happens.
However, here's what I do connect with what you're saying in your philosophy. And Mo, I don't know if you're like this, but this is the way that I brace myself for sporting events. Every time my team is playing, I just know they're going to get their ass kicked that weekend. So that's what I tell myself. And I'm pleasantly surprised when they win, but I want to brace for the loss before it happens.
I do the same exact thing. I go in prepared to lose every single week.
Well, so it can also be like a form of control. Like if you think that the worst is going to happen, you can prepare for it. Or maybe in some weird messed up way, if you think the worst is going to happen, like the universe will hear it and be like, well, no, I'm not going to do that because she saw it coming.
you can't be disappointed if you expect the worst to happen.
Right.
You know, and I think if you're a perfectionist, like you say you are, Abby, and I think we have some similarities, like if you do something and something does go wrong, like I beat myself up. I'm like, I should have prepared for that. That was really dumb of me. Of course that was going to happen. How could I not see it coming?
Yeah. So the words that I gave my 18-year-old self were words that came to me in a vision when I was around like 23, and I was kind of in a low place at my old job where I was kind of like, everything sucks and I'm going to quit. And I heard this weird voice in the back of my head, because I hear voices, and not all the time, but every now and then.
Okay, so she's not a perfectionist, it's schizophrenia.
I'm just mentally ill.
We are really learning a lot about that over the last 2.5 minutes.
Call it the universe, call it Jesus, whatever. And the voice just said, don't give up. And that gave me enough strength to kind of make it through. And I kind of think that everything sort of worked out. So I would tell my 18-year-old self, don't give up.
So I'll do mine quickly because it's sort of close to what yours are also. And that's things work out. You don't know when you're 18. You don't know when you're like in your early 20s also. But any major thing that has come in my life, I have been so stressed out about the outcome. And in looking back at it, yeah, it was stressful at the time. But you know what? Things work out. They're going to be okay. Mm-hmm.
Mine is in line with what you guys have said. And it's funny because things work out was also my other one. But then I landed on believing yourself. Because that's what I think my issue was when I was younger. I just didn't believe that things would go right. I didn't believe that I was enough, that I had what it takes, and everything will work out in the end, so long as you just keep your faith and believe in yourself. So I think that would have been my message to me.
Cass.
Find your passion. So I feel like I was pretty aimless at 18. And this was like, for those listening, like you guys, before the internet, before TikTok, before all this like opportunities to find things to be interested in. So I was interested in a lot of stuff, but I kind of just floated through college, like taking classes here and there. And I didn't have a real passion until my senior year, and I discovered really photography. And I wish I had something earlier. I wish I had more direction rather than just kind of floating aimlessly. I know college is about finding yourself, but that's what I would tell myself, is to really get out and search for your passion and focus on it.
That's good. Real good.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
Instagram now knows that I'm a sucker. For sure, it is in some kind of algorithm. Like, this guy is into a deep dive into his health this year, so we are going to throw every possible scenario at him, and we are going to milk him for every dollar he has. And for the most part, it's really worked very well. This year, I've just kind of decided, like, you know what? I've worked out most of my life, gone to the gym and stuff for vanity reasons, and you just get to a certain age where you realize that crap doesn't matter anymore. You know what's really important? Not being in a coffin. So I've done a deep dive into my health, and there's just so many levels to it. So I'm taking blood tests and a sleep apnea test, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on with some of my blood work. So I get this email the other day, and I'm probably not going to do it because I don't know that I believe in the science yet, and I don't even know that I want to know. But let me ask you guys the same question. Would you do this? Dear valued patient, we want to express how you and your health are our first priority here at our practice. As cancer has touched each of our lives in one way or another, we want to be proactive in early screening for this deadly disease. This is why we are happy to announce blank's recent partnership with blank to offer a multi-cancer early detection test. Introducing the blank, and then they name it. It's an innovative breakthrough in early cancer detection that screens for more than 50 types of cancer, many of which are not commonly screened for today. With a simple blood draw, this test provides early detection insights that help you to be proactive about your health. Today, 71% of cancer-related deaths are caused by cancer not commonly screened for. When cancer is diagnosed early or before it has a chance to spread, the overall 5-year survival rate is 4 times higher than when it's diagnosed later in the later stages. With this test, doctors have seen deadly cancers detected at unseen early stages, even when the patient had no symptoms. After personal examination of the research and results, we're excited about what this cancer screening offers. Mm. Now, here's why I love this. Philosophically, I think that the medical industry in our country has it all wrong. I think that they wait for you to get sick and then they try to treat it. And I think that's got to be tweaked in our country, where they got to start telling you how to be healthy before you get sick. And I think we do a terrible job of that. So I'm on board. But as far as this goes, like, unseen early stages, taking the test can really freak you out, can it?
I don't think so. I think if you know anybody who's lost somebody to cancer, if you gave them the option that, hey, if there was a test that could tell you, let's say it was 10 years ago before you lost somebody, if you could take a test that could prevent that from happening, would you do it? I think most people would say yes.
I mean, a lot of women do now with breast cancer, and they get the double mastectomies. If it's genetic, the Do you know the Gene I'm talking about? Angelina Jolie Gene.
Yes, I know what Gene you're talking about. I just don't know the name.
Yeah, I forgot the name. But they'll do the genetic testing, and if they're predisposed, some of them will get a double mastectomy. But you have to be careful because there's a cohort of doctors who believe that some of these preventative screenings are actually dangerous because they will make you go in for procedures that you normally wouldn't have.
I'm nervous about.
Yeah, the fatality rates or the likelihood of those procedures messing up. Things happen. So you might have been completely fine, but you went in for a preventative procedure that went wrong, and now you are suffering those consequences. And that's something my dad, who is a physician, has warned me about when I've talked about doing preventative screenings.
Obviously, it would be more beneficial to catch the signs early and to know these things, but I don't know what it says about me. But I don't think I would want to know.
Is that
what?
Right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I kind of understand where he's coming from.
I just feel like I'm too much of an overthinker. And if it wasn't a big deal, I wouldn't know how to just accept that it wasn't a big deal. Like, it would be something I would constantly think about, and then I would probably make it even worse in knowing. I just don't know that I would want to know.
And I guess I'm becoming less trustful as I get older also, so I kind of feel like, look, are they going to tell you that you got a little something going on so they could put you on more supplements or put you on medications? I don't know that I trust the whole thing.
Well, it's also that mentality, too. So if you do get screened and they're like, okay, well, there's a 1% chance you might have liver cancer in the future, like, that is just going to sit with you. And I think there have been so many studies done on your mental outlook and how that actually does affect your health.
Yep.
So, like, if you're like a Mo and you're an overthinker and a worrier, him finding that out, like, what if that actually mentally leads your body down a non-physically beneficial path because you're just worried about it? And then you can't live your life and fully enjoy it because in the back of your head, you're like, 1% chance of living.
My mind would take that 1% up to about 90.
Yes.
Real fast.
Yes.
You add two zeros after.
Yeah. They would tell me there's like a 0.01% like kidney cancer, and I'm like, I'd be like, take it out.
Oh my God.
Get it out of my body. Take my kidney. Hey, Kenzie, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good. Thank you.
One other thing you have to think about, and my friend just went through this. She did a pre-screening because her family has muscular dystrophy in it, and her doctor told her, and she did check it out, that before you do any kind of pre-screening, make sure you have your life insurance policy in place, because if they detect even 1%, you will not be able to get a life insurance policy because you are at risk.
Oh, damn, that's really good advice right there. Thank you. Thank you for
make
that call.
Sure
if, wow.
Yeah, make sure if you do it, you have all your life insurance in place for to whomever you wanted to go to, because you won't be able to get a policy.
Great advice. I really appreciate you calling. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
The Burt Show.
Ladies, there's good news for you guys. So, you know those unwanted D pictures that you're getting from time to time?
Oh, right? Yeah.
How fun are those? Aren't they always met? Do you meet them with, oh, this is really great?
Oh my God, yeah. When I get it, I'm like, the iPhone will send one of those confetti poppers. You know, sometimes when you say congratulations, you get the D-pic and then some balloons. It's great.
We were talking about this a while ago. I know a girl who, because I think we opened up the Burt Show Book of Records, the quickest a dude has ever sent you one of those after you gave him your phone number. And she said she was sitting at a bar and she was vibing with the bartender. And he asked for her phone number. She said, sure. She gives him her phone number. He goes into the back room. As soon as he gets the phone number, goes into the back room, sends her a D picture from the back room.
Oh, come on, man.
30 seconds.
Well, put it away.
At least he went back then and gave an original.
Right.
It was fresh. Hot off the press.
So why am I even bringing this up? So if you have an iPhone, the new iOS 17 came out this week, and there's a feature on it that will blur out sensitive content, so you can decide if you want to click on it or not.
Oh.
I'm not turning this feature on.
You're not going to?
I'm not going to.
Why?
Because if he sends it, then I want to be able to send it to the group chat, and we can all giggle.
Okay.
we can all have ourselves a good laugh.
You can make that decision yourself. It's a feature called the sensitive content warning, and it blurs all those photos. You know how, like, on Instagram, sometimes you'll get pictures in your DMs, and it'll be blurred out, and you get to choose? Same thing with the new iPhone, or the iOS, I should say. So all you have to do to update it is go into your settings, go to privacy and security, and just turn on sensitive content warning, and that eliminates the D-pics.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jackson has joined The Burt Show. He's one of our new phone screeners, and he is Korean, and we all got to meet his girlfriend for the first time this weekend. And I did want to ask this because we were just talking off the air, and I didn't want to say it on the air if it was really, really insensitive, so I asked him off the air if this feels accurate, because his girlfriend looks just like Anne Hathaway. As white as Anne Hathaway, okay? And he's Korean. And I've always sort of felt like, with all races, I feel like it's more unusual for Asians to be with non-Asians than any other race. And I think you agreed on that.
I think that definitely holds true, especially for Asian men. Asian men tend to, I feel like, as far as the public goes, when you see people around, it's more rare to see Asian men with any other race with them. As far as Asian women go, though, there's kind of this common trope that I feel like I've been noticing recently, which may have been a thing for a while now, where Asian women tend to date tall, skinny, white guys. It's funny that, like, I would say almost all of my Asian female cousins are dating or married to tall, lanky white men.
Is that right?
Really? Yes.
Really?
Just a bunch of Timothy Chevrolet-looking dudes?
Timothy Chevrolet.
Exactly. If that's the way you want to put it, then yes.
Is dating in the Korean community or the Asian community any different than any other community?
I wouldn't say necessarily. I mean, I would say that there was some pressure growing up for me to find a nice Korean lady. And like, that was always something that was kind of told to me, especially from grandparents and like my mom, especially, of like talking, hey, one day you're going to find yourself a nice Korean lady and you're going to make her so happy and all of this. And I wonder if that's played into like some subconscious bias of me pretty much historically only dating white women, but it might be playing in there somewhere.
Are dating apps complicated in this area?
Dating apps have always been a grind for me. I have frequented all of the popular dating apps every single time that I've been single. And statistics have shown, actually, that Asian men, along with black women, are historically some of the least swiped on groups of people that
really
exist out there.
Wow. Huh.
Exactly. And so throughout my time since college, basically, where I've been on and off these dating apps, every single time I've been single, I've been, you know, on them a lot. And it's been tough. Especially when I compare it to how I see my white friends go through their dating apps, it seems like the difference is literally night and day. Bumble, for example, I've been on Bumble a lot, similar to Hinge and Tinder and all the other ones. And I don't think I got a single date off of Bumble in my entire time on there.
Wow.
Did some of your family give you some heat for not dating a Korean woman?
No, that's never come up. I feel like it's been more of like a subtle thing for like if my grandma has ever met like my my girlfriend before, maybe like a small sense of like disappointment, like, oh man, like I kind of had wished, but nothing outward like that.
So I always find it interesting because dating outside of your culture, because I remember, I think I told these guys that my mom was so liberal and is just so liberal all the time, like love everybody, right? And then when I introduced her to my girlfriend who is from Guyana, black and from Guyana, she pulled me aside and she said, I just want to let you know you're going to change our bloodline forever.
Wow.
Right. I'm I was floored. Yep. Right. Wow. It's all cool until it's in your house.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I mean, I've definitely heard similar things to that before. You know, my family lineage has been something that's been like very like a source of pride for me my entire life of like, you know, we date back generations, like you have to be 99.9% like pure blood Korean, that kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, things have changed nowadays. Like, it's not so much like that anymore.
Hey, if you're going to date my boy, take this 23andMe test. You gotta say exactly what percentage you are.
Exactly. They're like, you know, who you date has further implications than just yourself. Like, you know, my mom has told me a lot, like, mm-hmm. you know, the person that you date and the person that you marry is not just dating and marrying you. They're dating and marrying the entire family. So you have to keep that in mind and consider that.
I think that's what my mom was trying to say, but your mom said it in a way better way.
Yeah.
I might be censoring some stuff too, but I'm not trying to throw it on blast.
I get it.
The Burt Show.
All right, April wanted us to help her out here. She's in the middle of a mess right now. She went on a break with her boyfriend. He starts dating some people. She starts dating some people. And now that they're back together, she's like, I wonder if he's still dating some people. Hey, April.
Hey.
Hey. Okay, you wanted our help last night with To Catch a Cheater, War of the Roses, to see if this dude would send some roses to you or this other girl. Tell us what got us here in the first place. Like, what the tension, how long you guys were broken up for on this break. And Abby thinks, like, the major reason is because it was so open-ended.
I think so. I think if you don't have an end date to the break, then it just becomes very... It's just muddled and there's no parameters as to why are we doing this break, and it becomes very unproductive.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think obviously I'm here, so you're right. A few months ago we wanted to take a break. So we took a break for like a month or so, and our fighting just seemed like constant. And so, you know, we took the break, but like, and explored situations with other people, but you know, the universe like brought us back together. Like, you know, we kind of felt like that was going to happen, but we felt like we needed to take the time. But ever since we've been back together, like, I don't know, I have this insecurity and a lot of jealousy, which I hate feeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been some whispers in our friend groups, like little hints here and there that like keep feeding my doubts. And you know, he keeps reassuring me that nothing's going on, but like every time his phone lights up with a message, you know, I don't know, it's just like,
can't help but wonder.
My intuition tells me there's something not right, you know.
When you guys decided to take this break, were there clear guidelines as to what the break would look like? We are definitely going to see other people, or was it kind of just like whatever happens?
I think it, you know, again, kind of like what you were saying, like it was muddy, and it was like, we kind of said like, well, whatever happens, but I think deep down, I don't know, it's weird. It's like you want to take a break, but then deep down you kind of secretly hope the other person isn't dating other people. It's kind of messed up, but I don't know.
Well, it's an impossible competition, right? Because you guys have been dating how long?
Like 2 years.
2 years.
Now.
Okay. So then you go on this break and there's somebody new, and we know about this phase, right? Where everything is so intoxicating. Everything he or she says is so new and so funny. And, you know, you guys are in a routine now after a couple of years where he knows you and probably is very, very attracted to you. But that newness, that intoxication of the newness, is hard to compete with.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, it's a cycle. It's definitely an unhealthy cycle, but you know, he did start seeing someone like specifically during the break, and you know, I was generally okay with it initially, but now like sometimes he'll mention her in passing, and like, I don't know, like it's almost better. I feel like it would almost be better if I didn't know, like if he just didn't tell me, you know, because now like I feel paranoid about it. And like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, if you're thinking that, sometimes I wish that it's better off not to know, then you picked a very bad time to call the Burt Show. Do this, because you're about to find out, right? Unless you want to back out right now, you're about to find out one way or the other.
No, we've already done it. Let's just do it.
Okay. Abby, you want to take it from here? Because we did test them last night.
Oh, yeah. So yesterday we sent a promotional email to the email address April provided us for her boyfriend. He was offered a free bouquet of flowers and was able to choose from several different options with pictures. In exchange, he was asked to share several promo codes for 30% off a future order with his friends and family. He was able to choose from the following bouquets. We have Autumn Spice. This bouquet is filled with the warm colored blooms and twigs scented with cinnamon. Make her look forward to cozy nights by the fire with you as soon as the temperatures start to dip. It might not feel like it now, but cozy nights are right around the corner. We also have Spellbound, a dark and dramatic mix of black roses, queen of the night tulips, and maroon calla lilies. Have her thinking of those late nights when you have her complete attention. Wild and Free. This perfectly describes her spirit, but also this medley of wildflowers. Show her that you understand her soul and you'll never try to tame her. Lastly, we have Long-Stemmed Love. 2 dozen long-stemmed red roses, the most classic way to tell your love that she's the only one for you. The first email It was sent at 9:42 a.m. There was no response, so we sent it again at 12:33 p.m. And then we received an order from him at 1:02 p.m. And he chose Autumn Spice. This bouquet is filled with warm colored blooms and twigs scented with cinnamon. Make her look forward to cozy nights by the fire with you as soon as the temperatures start to dip. It might not feel like it now, but cozy nights are right around the corner. And he is sending this to Alexis, which is obviously not April. I was waiting for a reaction.
If it was, we would call her. We would have said April.
Yeah.
He sent the delivery for Saturday morning to a residential address. The note on the card said, "These made me think of you. Happy first day of your favorite time of the year." ..
All right, so your instincts were spot on. And normally when we do these with women, especially, like 90% of the time, your gut instincts are right. You look confused, Mo.
I'm just trying to figure out if Alexis is the woman that you were concerned about.
I think Tommy is going to say, that's not, is that or is that not her name, Tommy?
It is not.
It is not her name. Mm.
But it's not the woman he was dating either that she knows about. Her name was Catherine.
Oh, he's getting around.
Oh, so this is a third.
Right, right.
That I didn't understand.
Yep.
Okay. So Catherine was the girl, the woman that you were concerned with?
Yeah.
All right, so.
Well, good news, he's not seeing Catherine.
Okay.
All right. Sure. Where does the darkness come from sometimes?
Just looking on the bright
That's
side.
That's my role.
Trying.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line here is that, yeah, he's still seeing somebody else. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Here comes Mrs. Brightside. What's up, guys?
No, I'm like, if your gut told you he's seen someone else, he probably is seeing Catherine, and I would get with Catherine and Ooh. Let her know about Alexis. And then y'all can the other woman, like the movie, this situation.
Or you can just walk away from this whole thing. I mean, he hasn't been honest with you. He's seen a couple of other women. You knew this in your heart, so just walk away from this dude.
No, John Tucker must die.
Or that. All right, April, sorry about that, but at least you got some truth now.
Keep your head up.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate your help.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You wish we would have never done this.
That's the same.
She's regretting this so hard.
Let's pretend it never
You
happened.
Deserve better.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
98 Degrees is on a 25th anniversary tour, but nobody really knew because pretty much everyone is just talking about NSYNC, even though they have just gotten back together for literally a singular song that is going to be in a children's movie. So Nick Lachey was doing a recent interview, and he jokingly said that NSYNC was stealing 98 Degrees' thunder.
A question.
I mean, it is your show, so go ahead.
It was rhetorical. Is there just this much, little percentage of just this much, when these boy bands are now men and they're still doing the same thing that they were doing 15 or 20 years ago? Is there just this much? That little, this much.
This much what?
This much what? Cringe factor?
Yeah.
Okay, so admittedly, in needing to talk about the 98 Degrees tour that nobody knew was going on, I went to the 98 Degrees website, and I was looking at some of the
promo.
Yep. And there, I was looking.
It's on AOL.
Stop. Someone submitted this to me on AIM, and I was looking at some of the promotional photos, and that thought did cross my mind. Not when I saw Nick Lachey, because I do think Nick Lachey still got it going on. One of the members is wearing a fedora, and it just kind of ups the old man factor.
I think the issue is, because you look at someone like Elton John, who has a career that spans decades, and nobody thinks that about Elton, but I think he has adapted a little bit to suit his age. So I think when these boy banders are still acting like when they were 18 to like 27 and doing the same dance moves, as because Justin Timberlake just got under fire for doing, he was wearing khakis and did some dance on stage, and everyone's like, you look like a dad trying to be cool, when JT was like one of the best dancers ever. So I think when they don't recognize their age, and that's when it gets a little cringy, you know what I mean?
I guess I just would, my ego would really fight the idea of just being a nostalgic act.
Would your bank account fight it though? Because there are women my age willing to part with like our entire tax return.
But all those dudes are already so rich, aren't they?
Some of them, but not all of them. I think you have ones like Justin and you have like the Nick Lachey's who branched off and did their own thing. And then Backstreet, of course, like they are probably the most prolific. But if you look at somebody like a Joey Fatone from NSYNC, I mean, sure, he has gigs. Like they're not poor. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't think they're rolling in it, especially when you read about how some of their managers took advantage of them the first few years and they weren't making any money.
Maybe the more broke ones should open for the richer ones. They should form their own band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The broke boys.
The bitch.
Broke streets back.
Out of sync.
We'll fix your sync.
Well, speaking of Joey Fatone and him needing to get a check, we finally know why him and Lance Bass posted that video of them in Christmas jammies. Remember we talked about this a few days ago. They had Christmas decor in the background, and it was Joey and Lance, and they were in Christmas jammies, and they knocked on the door and they said, "Boys, we're here." And I thought it was going to be an NSYNC Christmas album, or maybe it was going to be a Backstreet Boys NSYNC holiday album crossover. It turns out it is none of those things. We are going to be extra cozy this year, this holiday season, because Joey Fatone, Lance Bass, AJ McLean, and Wanya Morris of Boys to Men and their families are partnering with the Children's Place for a partnership to create a whole line of Christmas jammies and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
That's so wholesome and sweet.
That's very cool.
So you can be thinking about them this holiday season.
Because it's for charity, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. But they're stretching people's patience thin with these little teasers.
Yeah, right.
Especially online. Like, put up or shut up, okay?
Well, you know who's really going to be giving it to this holiday season? Hallmark. So they have really pushed through the strike, because I'm sure you're thinking, oh my gosh, all the writers are on strike. Nobody can promote their movies. Hallmark really put things into overdrive when they found out that the strike was going to happen, because they are bringing 40 all new original holiday movies to air on their network this year. They did not break any SAG-AFTRA rules. They completed this all before the strike. And all of these Christmas movies are kicking off as soon as October 20th with the movie Checking It Twice, in which a hockey player falls for a real estate agent in a career crisis when he's traded to her hometown and moves into the cottage that her hockey family owns.
Riveting.
I'm here for those movies, but not before Halloween. October 20th, you said? No, that's spooky season. Thanksgiving, nobody cares about. Mm-hmm. Spooky season, we protect it at all costs.
November is the gray area. YouTube is the first platform to punish Russell Brand for sexual assault allegations. I'll tell you what's going on there on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
She's getting pressured to get a boob job, and she is not happy about it. Cassie has got the email.
Dear Burt Show, I've been dating my boyfriend for a year now, and over the weekend, he told me something that he'd like for me to do. Get a boob job.
Hmm.
I knew early on in our relationship that 99% of the women he's dated in the past had big boobs, which I do not. I'm a 36B, and evidently, that's not enough for him. He wants me to get a breast enlargement, at least a D cup. I really love him, and I want him to be happy, so should I even consider this? It's definitely got me feeling a certain way about it. I mean, am I not enough? I even talked to my mom about it, and she thinks it's a terrible idea. She says if he loves me, he should love me for me. What do you all think? I'd especially love Cassie's take on this, because I know she's talked about her big boobs before. Is my boyfriend a bad guy because he wants me to do this? Is he being shallow? I'd love any advice. Thanks. Jam.
All right, my knee-jerk reaction is, first of all, it's a boyfriend. You're not allowed to make any kind of demands or even requests for somebody that you're not committed to in this area. Period. Carry on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's definitely, you don't want to make a permanent decision based off of what could be a temporary relationship. He's your boyfriend. He has no commitment to you other than the fact that you guys have mutually agreed that you guys like each other and want to continue seeing each other. My friend was actually in this exact situation, but with her husband. And I actually tried to talk her out of it unsuccessfully, because I knew that if she was getting it done, it wouldn't be for her. And I told her, I was like, this is really going to affect your body image. I know that's something that you struggle with. And if you add more to you, I really think that's something that you are going to battle moving forward. And I think it's not a good decision to make based off of something that your husband wants. She ended up going through with it and she loves him now. But I don't think it's something that you should do unless you genuinely want to because you have to live with your body for the rest of your life.
I completely agree. You shouldn't make a permanent change for what could be a temporary situation. I mean, if this is something that you think you'd enjoy and you would want, then I see no problem with you going through with it and it being what it is. But I don't think this is something you should do for him, because if anything, it can grow into resentment in a lot of different areas.
She wanted your advice more than any.
The audacity of a boyfriend asking you to change your body like this, I would drop him like a hot potato.
How do you really feel?
Yeah, you're done. You're done. See, here's the thing. If you want a breast augmentation, like, go for it. Like, that will make a lot of people who feel not confident feel more confident. I don't think they're necessary. And as someone with big boobs, though, I can tell you the grass is not greener on this side. Bras are more expensive. There's a lot of back pain, and your clothes don't fit right. So that's not fun. But D is not, like, as huge as I am, right? But it's a good size. But if you're not wanting it and you're sitting here having this debate, think about it. If you guys are endgame, if you're long term, what's going to happen when you get older and you age and you don't look the same? When the boobs start to sag, when other things start to sag and you get wrinkles, are you really going to spend your life chasing youth to keep your boyfriend happy and interested in you? There's nothing wrong with changing your body physically if it's something you want to do, but when you do it for a partner, you invalidate who you are at the moment, and then you're never going to feel secure in the relationship because you're always going to be wondering, what is it about my body he doesn't like now?
My other question is, who the hell is paying for this? A boob job is like, what, $10,000? So is he coughing up this cash? Are you having to go into your savings that could affect your future too? We wouldn't ask people to change people. We wouldn't ask people to change what's going on the inside, so I don't think we should be asking people to change on the outside either.
The audacity to even ask. I got to be honest with you. I don't even know how you approach that. But that would be, yeah, no. Absolutely not.
And the fact that she thinks this is coming from him dating women with big boobs in the past. Like, that, for some reason, just makes it even more cringe to me.
Tom? I've got a stupid question that I've always wanted to ask.
Well, you're coming to the right place, buddy.
So, she's a what cup?
She's a B.
A B. And he wants her to be what?
A D.
Did they charge, and I'm totally serious when I ask this because I'm ignorant about it. Do they charge, like, the sizes up?
So do you pay more for bigger boobs? Like, if you got a C, you'd pay one level, a D, another level.
Like, if you get a monster truck and you get tires and you go for the bigger tires, they cost more.
Fair question.
Some surgeons do.
Do they?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's across the board, but if you think about it, you would have to pay for more material to fill that area. So I know some do, but I don't know if it's an industry standard thing.
Yeah, that's what I asked about, honestly, about my dad's ashes. I told you guys that. I mean, it was a stupid amount of money. My dad was like, when he passed away, he's like 5'2". And I'm like, would it cost me the same amount of money if Shaq passed away? And they said yes. And I'm like, that's ridiculous.
That is a biggity six.
Good morning, Suzanne. You're on The Bird Show. Hi.
Good morning. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Hey, please tell this caller or the girl who wrote in to look into breast implant illness. It's real. I had an augmentation about 13 years ago. 10 years into it, I got incredibly sick, went to specialist after specialist, and nobody could figure out what was going on. Everything said I was fine. I was becoming bedridden at the point. Finally took him out, and from the moment I woke up from anesthesia, it was like a miracle. Like, everything went away. So I would just have her look into it. I would also have her look into MTHFR, which is a genetic gene that can contribute to women who end up with breast implant illness. All these things, do your research before you do something so drastic, because it may be fun now and it may be great for years, but at some point in time, it could really, really be detrimental to her health.
Appreciate you calling. And on a more superficial level, just to wrap this up, Nicole, good morning. Tommy asked the question, bigger boobs equal bigger money when it comes to breast augmentation.
Yes, that's correct.
That is correct. So there's a sliding scale. You want Bs, you're going to pay this much, but you're going to pay Ds, it's going to be more.
Can I donate my boobs to somebody who needs them? Like, just get it. Like, will I get paid if I get a reduction?
Be going to a good cause.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nicole. It's The Bird Show.
Get it. The Bird Show.
What you doing on Saturday? Because you ought to be hanging out with Abby.
Come hang out with me and drink mimosas. I'm so excited. I'm throwing my first live podcast event for the Breakup Breakdown. If you haven't heard of my podcast, it is like the juiciest breakups you've ever heard. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about one of the scariest breakups that I've ever heard. It was an episode that I released yesterday about a woman getting kidnapped and then her ex accused her of bigamy, which is basically him accusing her of getting married when he says they were already married. It's a lot of drama. So if you love like little small town tea, this is the podcast for you. And on Saturday, we're actually getting together at Five Church in Midtown. We're going to have a little brunch, and we're going to be spilling the hot gossip on somebody's breakup.
Yeah, what are you? What else are you guys going to be doing? You got food going on there, you got drink going on there, and then what else?
Lots of drinking, lots of dancing. Okay. You'll probably be seeing me twerking after everything's done. When you show up at noon, which is when it starts, I'm going to be so classy. I'm going to have my cute little outfit on, be shaking hands, kissing babies, taking photos, and then around a like 1:45, scary Abby is going to come out. It is going to be litty.
Dark Abby comes out.
Admittedly, I'm really nervous, so when I get nervous, I tend to overdrink just a little bit, so you may see a side of me that I'm not ready to share.
You in danger, girl. Let me warn you, because Kristen and I will be there, because we're so excited to see you, but I have done a live podcast taping, and I drank too much, and it will haunt you forever, so I'm just going to issue that warning.
Please do it.
Stop.
Go for it. You need the memories.
Yes.
I'll probably take a shot before I go on stage just to kind of loosen things up. Because when I do get nervous, it's almost like it counteracts the effects of alcohol. So I just become sort of like a normal level-headed human.
Where can people get tickets?
So right now, if you go to my Instagram at the Abby Murphy, I have 6 tickets left for the event. It's in my bio. The tickets are $50, but it includes an all-you-can-eat brunch buffet. If you have dietary restrictions, don't worry, we can accommodate you, but we want to see your pretty faces there.
Just on Instagram.
On Instagram, but it's on Eventbrite, but the easiest way to find it, if you find me on Instagram, you can find the link.
Okay. All right, Tommy, I'm a little bit nervous about doing this because I feel like Tommy's definitions of celebrity sometimes are different than the rest of our definitions.
I know more about celebrities and pop culture than anybody in this room.
That's the problem.
You do.
Right. that is true, except yours sometimes are like, I don't like the third stringers from 1980s
movies. Yeah, I said something earlier this morning about doing this. I am going to meet a full-fledged celebrity tonight, and I wanted you guys to guess and maybe do like a 20 questions thing, and Cassie goes, is it Carol Channing?
Which most people don't even know who
I don't know who Carol Channing is. Not a clue.
Yeah, you should.
She's from like the 30s.
Well, like you've got excited. Didn't you see Minnie Pearl in concert?
No.
There was
Ronnie Millsap.
I'm Googling all these people.
Hit the pop charts in the 80s. Thank you.
No, there was some other old woman that you're really excited to meet.
He had a crush
Loretta Lynn.
He had a crush on like one of the extras in St. Elmo's Fire.
Whatever.
What was her name?
At least the people I like, Cassie, have talent, unlike Britney Spears.
Shots fired.
Her talent today is on Instagram looking like a washed-up stripper.
And yet she's still richer than you, so.
It popped up yesterday in my feed.
Why are you bringing Britney into this,
man? What did Britney got to do with this?
All she's missing is a cigarette butt hanging out of her mouth and a frying pan and a hair net.
Stop!
All right. Anyway, okay. To my game.
All right.
It's time to play What Celebrity Is Tommy Gonna Meet Tonight? All right, you guys get 20 questions. You get to go around the table. No gimmies this time.
Okay.
So, question number one, Bert.
Is it somebody that's had a project in the last 40 years?
Yes. Okay. You guys are going to eat your words.
Okay, that's mine.
This person is an A-lister.
Are they alive? Kidding.
Is it a woman?
Yes.
Do they have blonde hair?
Sometimes.
Some. Do they have blonde hair right now?
I don't know. I haven't seen her yet.
Oh, my God.
Is she mostly known for music?
No.
Is she over the age of 40?
No.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Oh, Tommy knows somebody that isn't a senior citizen.
Is she mostly known for movies?
No.
Oh, what is she known for?
Must be TV. Right?
Ooh, is she a theater actor, actress?
She isn't known for that, no.
TV.
She may have worked in the theater. I'm not sure about that.
But TV. Hit TV show.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Is anybody keeping up with that many questions?
We're on seven.
We're on two.
We need more.
Okay. That's a hit TV show.
Yep.
Under 40.
Yep.
Sometimes blonde and a woman. This is all we got.
And a project in the last 40 years.
Does she also sing?
I'd say no.
Okay.
She's not known for that.
Was it a long-running TV series?
I'd say yeah. I mean, decent, yeah.
Is she of the Caucasian persuasion?
Yes.
That's all Tommy hangs out.
Hurry up. You got like 2 minutes.
Is she known for comedy?
No.
Mm. Not a funny lady.
Mm. an award winner?
Yes.
Now I'm intrigued. Mm.
Was she the lead role in the series?
Yes.
Mm. Is she married to someone famous?
Were you going with
no.
Melissa? Were you going with Melissa McCarthy? Is that what you were thinking?
No. Oh. I was thinking Blake Lively, actually.
Oh. Oh, yeah, like Gossip Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does she have kids?
No.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
What? Was she?
No, she's not married.
She's not married. What? No. Was she ever married?
No.
Oh, it can be Jennifer Aniston. Could not be Jennifer Aniston, right?
Never married.
Oh, because no you kids. Said under 40. Right.
Mm.
All right, we're getting close on time. We got like a minute or so.
Was the TV show she was on geared towards young adults?
Yes.
Ooh, who you got?
Oh.
I don't know. I was thinking Kiernan Shipka.
And there, it went
Like Gen Z knows who she is.
Yes, I know who she is. She's rumored to be dating John Mayer, which is really
weird.
I would say
young adults and more. But yes, young adults is a big part of her audience.
Like she, like a Gilmore Girl or something?
Nope.
Ooh, is she dating someone famous?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it Nina Dobrev?
I've never seen her blonde.
No.
That's true.
Is this a show that was on the CW?
No.
Is it Chloe Grace Moretz?
No.
I'm just going to start throwing blonde actresses.
You're getting closer.
Ooh, we're getting closer.
Okay.
I don't have a clue.
Is it Elle Fanning?
No.
Dakota Fanning?
No.
Dakota Johnson?
No.
Don Johnson.
No.
Just kidding.
I'll give you a huge hint. We're waiting for her show to come back.
We're waiting for her show to come back.
Oh, is it Emilia Clarke?
No.
Oh.
Game of Thrones?
I guess that's not coming back, is it?
No.
It's kind of done.
Who is it? Go ahead.
Millie Bobby Brown.
No way! Where and how?
It's part of the Marcus Jewish Community Center of Atlanta's book festival they have every year. They have speakers come in. I will have you know, Bert, that Henry Winkler will also be appearing, and I've got tickets for that as well.
The Fonz?
But 11 is tonight.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's cool, dude.
It's awesome, Tom.
Yeah, so she's got a book called 19 Steps, and you go and get the book and get it signed.
Hello, I'm Jewish. No invitation.
Get it. The Bert Show.